American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, March 30th, 2005. And not to worry, it would be Hump Day. Hump Day is the day in which it's somehow called in the middle of the week that we know we're over the hump and heading towards the weekend. This is assuming, of course, that you have a five-day work weekend. Don't work on the weekends doing crazy shift work designed by corpoliticals to make sure that you don't have any home life or an ability to raise a family or to have any social programs, thereby blurring the line between your private time and your working time, therefore indoctrinating you into further corporate culture. This would be Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against that same corporate culture that is trying to enslave you. And you can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, which can be found at SEAN_Kennedy, spelt like the dead guy, .livejournal.com. And you'll be able to get all my current views and news and everything else. So just in case you think my ego is not overinflated enough, you can read what I write as well. And you get the added bonus of getting all the links and added data to make sure I'm just not lying through my teeth, which sometimes, you know, I wish I was. You'll hear it's time to turn the page when you hear me say something like, oh my God, I can't believe how late the hour has gotten. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on the Rant Radio and the Box Music Network. So, and if you actually have access to other musical networks, or say you want to run a pirate station, or you want to broadcast it out to the world across this huge, disorganized, wonderful chaos that is the Internet, please contact info@rantradio.com. Speak to a very, very svelte and sexy man named Sumerian, and he will set you up with all the good stuff you need to start broadcasting this show. And even if you don't have the, added ambition of broadcasting through everyone's phone lines using wireless phones, well, I'm here to tell you, you're still free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. Just don't get caught and don't get arrested for it. And I'll take this opportunity to say a big hello to all my law enforcement brethren out there. I hope all your wiretaps are tuned up. And don't worry, hey, at any moment, all you gotta do is walk up to any group of teenagers you say and say, you know what, I'm sick of being a cop. Can I hang out with you guys? And they'll take you in. We're here for you. We're here for you. I know that you're concerned about, you know, losing all your little cop friends and everything. Don't worry about that. We're here. The counterculture is here and ready to embrace you. We can, like, you know, we'll give you a digital baptism. You'll get your own t-shirt, you know. You'll be able to pick up a bike. Mind you, you'll lose your job. And, well, none of us really have jobs anyway. But, you know, that's okay. There's lots of love out here. Lots of love. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie. A lot of us have jobs. I kind of downplay the counterculture sometimes. I poke fun at the cops. Cops poke fun at us. You know, it's how it works. But as long as we can all just get along, can't we all just get along? I don't know if we can all get along, but I do have some feedback which talks about these things. This one's from a Panthropy. Now, normally, I don't usually go off on random thoughts that have nothing to do with show, but this one was good. Dear Sean, another handful of random thoughts. Life expectancy. This one really caught me. I hear at least twice a month some random individual remark that just 100 years ago, the average life expectancy for humans was anything from 35 to 50 years. Now, we've all heard this. Everybody's heard this. Oh, praise the medical industry for making us live longer. I hear this so often, it makes me wonder just who put this idea in people's heads. A good question. A quick glance at headstones in any old graveyard should set that myth straight from whence it came. I've studied my own lineage to tell you that my forebears were 80 and some over 100 at the time of their passing, even 500 years ago. Weird. Which is true, because now that he mentions it, yeah, I've heard that too, you know, that, oh, well, we will all be dead at 35. I think they're referring to, like, really long time ago, like, I don't know, pre-Cambian stuff. Okay, and on to Infectobesity. This is that story they ran. I think it came out of China or India or something like that, where they're saying that being obese is actually a disease, which sounded a little bit dodgy, but he talks about it here. He says, Infectobesity, you reported on the show a couple weeks ago. True. The theory that some types of obesity is caused by some sort of infection. Why does this smell like pure grade A bullshit? Yeah, it does smell a lot like bullshit. Same reason most other excuses for obesity do. They don't make sense. What makes perfect sense if you can blame it, what does make perfect sense is that if you can blame obesity on an infection, you can make money for treating that fictional infection and medicating for it. True. Good point. Why? What's his excuse for thin people? Immune to infection? It's just coincidence that thin people are more likely to leave active lifestyles, or maybe he can be creative and say that our thin bodies enable us to lead lifestyles instead of the more accurate another way around. That's all I have to say for now. And Panthropy, very cool to hear from you, APAN. Always a big fan. And the guy's actually, whenever I get stuff from APAN, it's really entertaining to read his stuff because he's got such a unique viewpoint on so many things. And it's always come away just a little bit smarter. And that's one of the great things about the internet is it does connect people like that with other people who are dumber like me so that I can, gradually glean more information. I think if I was cut off from the internet, once my memory failed, I'd probably reduce to a small puddle of, Down syndrome drool. That would just be me. Now, on to more mail. Speaking of Down syndrome drool, let's talk about the Terry Schiavo case. Dear Sean, just a few points I felt needed to be stated about the Schiavo case. Now, I'm normally, before I go any further, I am not a big fan of mainstream news. I do not cover things in the mainstream news because, I think a lot of things in the mainstream news are bullshit. However, I did talk about the Terry Schiavo case the other day, and I explained that I thought, generally, if they're going to do the bitch, they should just brainstem her and call it a day rather than cutting off her food and water, letting her choke out slowly over time. I don't think she'll ever really come back, so it's kind of this huge distraction story, but I did make the mistake of mentioning it, so I've got to read the feedback. That's, my own little rules, which, of course, are subject to massive, massive waivers and disclaimers. But anyway, dear Sean, just a few points I felt needed to be stated about the Schiavo case. Fair ball. I mean, I try to be fair here. The husband fought for 7 years and received a settlement of several million dollars to rehabilitate his wife. It was not too long after he won the court case that he remembered that while watching a movie with his beloved wife, she said that she would not want to live this way. He also ordered that there should be no rehabilitation done on his wife. The husband also regulates who gets to visit his wife. Schiavo's parents used to have a hard time getting in to see her. Several nurses have given statements that he did not want them to even try spoon-feeding her. Also, this is a clear case of the court systems being all out of whack here in the U.S. The courts do not make laws, they merely enforce them. The U.S. Congress held an emergency session to pass legislation to help getting the feeding tube reinserted. The president flew across the country in the wee hours of the morning to sign the bill into law. The liberal judges who reviewed this case have accepted the hearsay of the husband that she did not want to live this way. And it is not a lot of people, and as a lot of people know, hearsay is not admissible in court. Schiavo is not on life support like a ventilator or a heart machine. It's just a feeding tube. Other than being in a vegetable state, she was not terminally ill. In my opinion, is that the police in this case severely screwed up not even investigating the thing after her quote-unquote accident, and that her husband wants her dead so she cannot implicate him if she ever recovers. I mean, seriously, there have been signed affidavits of people hearing the husband say, when is that bitch going to die? The case is more about Michael Schiavo's attempts to manipulate the system to legally murder his wife. Keep up the good work, Sire. Now, I have not followed the Schiavo case because I filed that in the distraction category of my news broadcast, okay? Like, generally, there's other more important shit going on in the world than this one woman, dying. Which, that sounds really cold. That sounds like a brutally, brutally cold thing to say. Because, realistically, if we cannot stand up for the weakest of our culture, if we cannot stand up for the people who are, vegetables and stuff like that, then, what's the point? Why even bother fighting? Well, okay, if my take on the thing here is that I was under the impression that she was on some kind of life support. Now, if all she's got is a feeding tube stuck into her, so she gets to suck on the straw, personally, I'd want to check out, okay, at that level. That would be me, but it's not me, okay? It's not me, and everyone's saying that this guy's trying to legally murder his wife. If that's the case, then that's sick and weird, but it's not the first time that our legal system has essentially completely fucked over innocent people, and it's yet another reason why sometimes, there was I watched an old Star Trek. Do you ever see that old Star Trek Next Generation episode where Q came in and was talking about the ancient past, which would be our future of history, and he had a court. It was called a court of fact. And I've oftentimes thought that like a Judge Dredd state and a court of fact kind of society and law structure might have some advantages over the current system. Now, granted, that's pretty totalitarian. That's pretty draconian for me to have a law system like that. But, I mean, seriously, you get stuff like this going on where it's this huge mess now. Nobody knows what's what. And what if, even if it's true, the fact is this chick is on a feeding tube, okay, and she's not on life support, so all you got to do is keep the straw in and she stays alive. Now, this guy's got millions of dollars, so the whole thing, you know, if you follow the money, the whole thing smells to high heaven. So I would just say, well, you know, obviously this is messed up. How do you fix it? How do you fix this? You just put the tube back in and then let Buddy go on, because he's got signing authority. He has got the legal power. And this is yet another reason why you want to be real careful before you team up with someone in a marriage-type environment, because it gets a little freaky in situations like this. And I had no idea there was millions of dollars of settlement on the line. So, yeah, the whole thing does look like it sucks pretty bad. This, the guy, whatever, I mean, I guess her name is Schindler or whatever, this dude who is her husband there, I mean, he's quite obviously a piece of shit, and I suppose, you know, he'll have to live with his decision if he makes it. And, luckily or unluckily, no matter how you cut it, this Terri Schiavo, at least she is a vegetable, because, maybe she won't feel a lot of the pain that's going on. But again, the main thing I have is if you decide to turn off a vegetable, which I can see some reasons for doing that, I don't think you should do it by starving him to death, because, I mean, that's got to be painful. You know, I'd rather just have an injection or something and just call it a day. Now, that sets a precedent, though, because we got all this mad cow disease coming down the pipe, right? We can't forget that. There's Alzheimer's and all these. We're going to have a very aging population very, very soon. And when these people, you know, at what point do you draw the line on the vegetative state? Oh, you can't feed yourself. Time to get to the burn booth. You know, you gotta straighten that out. So it is something that we have to address, and it's something we have to pay attention to. So, sire, good effort. You know, I appreciate that. Sure, why not? Now, on to sort yourself out. Hey, Sean, recently I failed two tests, which I felt very prepared for. I knew how to do everything and could. And when I took the test, I failed both. I have no idea what I'm doing wrong. What do you suggest? Thanks, Mobile. Well, okay, first of all, if you study for the test, this is true pretty much for any school. If you studied for the test, you felt prepared for the test, you knew how to do anything, you took the test, you failed. Okay, you have to check, first of all, where did you fail? Why did you fail? If you don't know where and why you failed, you need to speak with your teacher, because you said, look, okay, here's what I studied, here's what we covered in class, here's what the test was on, what's wrong here? Now, if the teacher turns around and goes, hey, dude, well, don't you get in the way of my teaching style, most of these teachers are power-mad fucks, which is true. A lot of teachers are power-mad fucks, and it's not their fault. It's not their fault they're power mad fucks, because they are in a position of power every day dealing with subservient people in the role of students. And over a period of time, this fucks with your head. You know, you slowly go a little bit mental. All you have to do is get near a couple elementary school teachers and you realize these people have been sufficiently affected by their job role, okay? A lot of these people, they're like, oh, hi, how are you today? You know, I mean, they're really weird people. So I would talk with your teachers. If not, you'd look at some tutorial. If not, again, you could do what I do, which is my Sean's Grade A study method, which is, number one, I don't care what anybody says. Cue cards are the king of study. Yeah, write up questions, puts the answers on the back of the cue cards, sit down with a buddy, and, you know, you either play a drinking game or whatever, and you just commit this shit to memory. I memorized artillery fire orders this way, and if you can memorize artillery fire orders this way in a NATO country, dude, you can memorize anything. Anything! You can memorize the periodic fucking table this way. So my default, but the short answer on tests and information that you're trying to memorize is, of course, cue cards. Now, let's get straight into the news. There's some hot and sexy tech. There's a big Japan trade show. I can't remember where the fuck it is. It's in the article, but check it out. In the trade show, in the article, near the end of the article, it talks about, and I got this sent to me by a couple of people, object recognition binoculars. Now, this is cool. Object recognition is like a friend or foe system developed by the military, you know, where they scroll around, they go, ba-bing, don't shoot this guy because he's your friend. And then there's a highlight around another dude going, enemy, he's driving this kind of vehicle. This is totally Terminator kind of shit where they do the outline and everything. Very, very hot. Now, these object recognition binoculars are created by NTT Docomo Japan, Japan's largest mobile phone company. Very cool. The user can scan the surrounding area. The binoculars will recognize certain objects and details about them will appear in the eyepiece. How fucking cool is that? Fix on a passing plane, for example, and the machine will tell you the flight number and its destination. turn your attention to a flower, and it'll tell you what variety it is. Like, this is crazy. The machine contains a 360-degree radar to point you in the direction of things that it knows it already has information on. Now, what I'd like to know more about is whether or not that's programmable, because if I can program that, you could do the same thing with, like, facial recognition software and have it all on demand. You could just put that on a camera, be zooming around. I mean, what couldn't you do with friend or foe HUD binos? I mean, that is just hot. And moving into cloning news, we're back onto the pets thing. Now, there was that broad a while ago who cloned her cat. Everybody knows about the chick who cloned her cat, paid $50,000 for this fucking cat, which, what kind of a... I'm not a cat person, okay? I'm a ranger dog person myself. I like my dog. I like terriers generally. I like all the Molosser breeds. Molosser or Molosser? I think they're both the same thing. But anyway, I enjoy those kinds of dogs. I want an animal that if somebody comes into my house and I happen to be unconscious because I fell over because I drank too much or whatever, he can make sure that I don't wind up getting mugged. Now, that's just sort of a personal guideline. But, you know, different strokes, different folks. Cats are cool, too. I've had some meaty cats. Why not? I just like one that weighs more than 200 pounds. Now, on to cloning news for pets in Wanaki, which is a crazy name in of itself. It's just another brown brick building in a suburban business park, but Sweet Jay at the Wanaki Business Center is about to turn animal cloning debates ground zero. Genetic Savings and Clone Incorporated. Now, these guys, they've been in the news for a while, and I gotta say that their Genetic Savings and Clone is just like the worst name ever. It sounds like a hoax. The entrepreneurial outfit that introduced the first clone pet cat into the world in December is opening its doors to a small Madison suburb in April. The company's CEO, Lou Hawthorne, has promised by year's end a dog will be born here. Well, you should actually say a dog would be photocopied here. In an 8 years since Dolly the Sheep's birth was announced to the world, research in animal cloning has progressed in ways few dreamed possible a decade ago. Yesterday, I talked about how they cloned a water buffalo in China. Scientists have now cloned barnyard animals and endangered species. They've created clone cows and from frozen steaks and cloned mice from cancer cells. They've talked about resurrecting extinct creatures such as woolly mammoths and Tasmanian tigers. Dude, fuck all that. I want a T-Rex. And with the news on Thursday, soft tissue from dinosaurs have been rediscovered. Recreating these giant lizards does not seem so far-fetched. Yes, I want the T-Rex, T-Rex, T-Rex. Despite the scientific excitement, creativity, and ingenuity that have inspired and driven this research, cloning remains uncomfortable, even freakish, for many people. T-Rex, T-Rex, who and what are the clones? Are they healthy animals or deformed monsters? T-Rex, T-Rex. How many animals are sacrificed in pursuit of one healthy clone? And in the end, what will it lead to? T-Rex. As ethicists and scientists weigh the motivations for animal cloning, improving the food supply, fighting disease, saving endangered animals, the arguments for and against cloning mutate and evolve along with research advances. The debate is now moving to our backyard. I want a T-Rex in my backyard, goddammit! I want a T-Rex. I don't care. If I could get a T-Rex, fuck dogs, man. I would have the T-Rex on the front lawn, big spike collar, huge feeding bowl, and a large sign inviting every Jehovah's Witness to come onto my property not to worry. That would just be incredibly too hot. But of course, we'll never see that. We'll never see that. I doubt we're going to have T-Rexes available for civilian purchase. And I think it's unfair. If you can't give me my flying cars, motherfucker, I want a T-Rex. That's just the way it works. Now, into some scary news which got sent to me by Ricky Rocket. Now, a few other people sent me this, but Ricky sent me this first, so he gets props off the top. Now, scary DNA, and we're not talking about the little swirl that holds your genetic makeup. For law enforcement officials charged with busting sophisticated financial crime and hacker rings, making arrests and seizing computers using criminal activity is often the easy part. More difficult can be the case in court, where getting a conviction often hinges on whether investigators get clean evidence off the seized computer equipment and connect information to specific crimes. Let me just read that whole paragraph again, because that paragraph should be highlighted, printed out, and put on your wall. More difficult can be making a case in court. This is important. Where getting a conviction often hinges on whether investigators can glean evidence off of the seized computer equipment and connect that information to specific crimes. Now, that means that if they seize your computer, you want to make sure that you have one of those destruction disks, you know, like Derek's bootin' nuke on hand, so you can just drop that in the hard drive, drop that in your floppy drive. Make sure it boots to floppy first. Sure, it shreds all your data. If you don't get a chance to turn the button on, just, you know, throw the disk in. Maybe they won't pop the A drive before they tune it on. They'll do their work for you, but, you know, that's the worst of a bad situation. The wide availability of powerful... You know what would be interesting? It'd be interesting if there was, like, some sort of a really low-level boot sector thing, where if you enter the right password, you know, you get in and everything boots fine. But if you enter the wrong password even once, okay, just even once, it, you know, like you could even say, enter the password, you know, Marcus or something. And if they type Marcus in there, which it tells you to do, it erases your hard drive or something like that. Something that's tricky that, you know, some newbie at the, you know, the FBI would just fuck it up and wind up shredding the data. That could be an idea, too. I mean, you can get really creative if you got some coding kills. Coding skills. The wide availability of powerful encryption and software has made evidence gathering a significant challenge for investigators. Hooray! Criminals can use the software to scramble evidence of their activities so thoroughly that even the most powerful supercomputers in the world would never be able to break into their codes. Okay, that's bullshit, because they can. That's why the most powerful computers be. The U.S. Secret Service believes that combining computer power with gumshoe detective skills can help crack criminals' encrypted data caches. Okay, I don't know how gumshoe's going to help that. Take a clue from scientists searching for signs of extraterrestrial life and mathematicians trying to identify large prime numbers. Blah, 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 blah. Talking about distributed computing. To date, the Secret Service has linked 4,000 of its employees' computers to a distributed network attack program. That's what DNA means. Distributed network attack program, which is essentially brute force. The effort started nearly 3 years ago to battle a surge in the number of cases which savvy computer criminals have used commercial or free encryption software to safeguard stolen financial information, according to DNA programmer Al Lewis. We're seeing more and more cases coming where we have to break encryption. What we're finding is that criminals who use encryption are usually higher profile and higher value targets for us, because it means from an evidentiary standpoint, they have more to hide. Or you could just be a concerned citizen. So I think everybody should have encryption. Not that I advocate, you know, breaking the law or anything like that. I just like the idea of being private. Now, how does this distributed network attack work? The Secret Service, this is all from the same article, great article. The Secret Service's distributed network attack program consists of 4,000 computers linked together and configured to try different password combinations against a series of encryption keys. It's raw brute force. 4,000 node cluster brute force system. The network is organized hierarchically. Now, this is interesting. According to each computer's processing power and function, with each segment of network named after decidedly equine theme. The machine that tells the segment of network what to work on is called the Shadowfax. Named after a horse in J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, Shadowfax. Underneath Shadowfax are several black horse machines that assign jobs to DNA computers in Secret Service field officers around the country. The computers that actually do most of the computations are called pack horses. DNA scours a suspect's hard drive for words and phrases located in plain text and fences word from the internet sites listed on computers' web browser logs. DNA technicians then load the suspect's encrypted data into the system, while Shadowfax tells the Black Horse computers how to distribute the workload of testing keys against the word list and execute any subsequent brute force attacks against the targeted encryption keys. So that's pretty, you know, basic stuff. It's interesting how they got it set up. But it's really not that, you know, graceful in the whole, you know, hacking thing. It's just sort of a huge, massive brute force attack. But hey, they're cops. What do you want here? Now, we've got a big gut check arrest, thinking of cops. Now, I rip on cops, make fun of cops, and I shouldn't. Because, I do actually really appreciate police and what they do. Because, you know, everybody, the old saying goes, nobody loves a soldier till the enemy's at the gate. And I tell you, you know, we like to rip on the cops sometimes. I don't rip on them that much. I'm being really brutal to them this show. But generally, I enjoy police officers. They're good people, and no one ever wanted to be a cop because they wanted to fuck people over. Well, I can't say that. Probably very, 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 very few. Now, we've got a gut check arrest here, though. Now, listen to this. A man has been charged under the Terrorism Act. This is in England now. After allegedly being found with a soldier's name and address written on a piece of paper. Now, I guess they have to put that in there legally, because they can't say for sure he was found with a soldier's name and address written on a piece of paper. But apparently he had this piece of paper, okay? Let's say they did. Okay, so Buddy got arrested for having a name and address written on a piece of paper. Abu Bakr Mansha, who's 21, was arrested in Thamesmead, southeast London, 4 days ago and charged on Monday night. He's due to appear in Bow Street Magistrates Court in central London Tuesday. Mr. Masha was charged under Section 58(1)(b) of the Terrorism Act, which deals with information of use to terrorists. The charge said he possessed a document, namely a piece of paper, containing the name and home address of a UK soldier, information to be likely to be useful to a person committing or preparing an act of terrorism. British police have so far arrested more than 700 people under the anti-terrorism legislation since September 11, 2001 attacks on the US. Of these 700 people, 17 have been convicted of terrorist offenses, about 120 have been charged under anti-terrorism legislation, and 135 have been convicted under other laws. Now, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Now, it's ridiculous to arrest people, so it would seem, for just having some information written on a piece of paper. However, if this guy doesn't know a British soldier, okay, and I noticed that it seems like he's probably Abu Bakar Mansha doesn't really seem like a British name, not to be, you know, racially profiling here or anything, but I call that basic powers of observation. If this guy's not a British citizen, or even if he is a British citizen, and he doesn't know the soldier, what's he doing walking around with this private soldier's home address where his family, wife, children, all that good stuff live? Like, what do you suppose he's going to do with that information? So, obviously, the guy's doing something with it. And, yeah, if I was a soldier, I'd want this guy taken out hard. You know, I'd want a hell of a lot more than just a jail term for this dude, because he's going after your home. And this is indicative of these terrorist types. You know, this is what war leads to. This is when, you know, obviously, the days of fighting on the battlefield are over. Now the battlefield is in everyone's hearts and minds and in your homes, because they can't fight on the battlefield, so they're going to go to your house and kill your kids. That's how this works. That's how they do it. Now, we, as being, you know, the nice first world nations and all that, we don't like to think we do that kind of stuff, but we do. We bomb houses and we bomb people and stuff like that. We don't go directly to their home and kill specific family members with knives and shit, because, you know, we don't need to, because we got harpoon missiles that do that. But, you know, this guy was a terrorist. He, like, it would seem to me that it was pretty obvious. The guy's walking around, you know, up to this guy's house. Yeah, then what do you think? You wanted to give him flowers? Then you want to say hello, you know, dear any soldier? No, I don't think so, man. So, although some say some of these new laws are ridiculous, the guy wouldn't have been arrested unless they had that law in place. So it's a bit of a gut check. It's a bit of a gut check. You know, you think, is that over the top to arrest the guy? But you got to think, was the guy actually guilty? And it looks to me from this article, why the hell else would he be walking up to this guy's house with his name and address? We need more data. But from the stuff I got here, yeah, I'd say he's worthy to bring in for questioning. You bet. Absolutely. Now, Japan is freaking the fuck out. A Japanese government-backed study warned Monday that the military balance in East Asia was becoming increasingly uncertain due to a buildup by China, which could modernize the further if the EU arms embargo is lifted. So China has had an arms embargo against it. China's got huge bucks. They're massing huge military might, and now they're talking about lifting the arms embargo? Oh boy, here we go. The assessment was made by the National Institute for Defense Studies, which is a research wing of Japan's defense agency, but does not speak for the government. The outlook of the military balance between Taiwan and China has been increasingly uncertain, an institute official said, quoting the annual East Asian Strategic Review. China has continued to modernize its military, while Taiwan has not been able to procure arms or weapons due to political obstacles. Ooh, not good. The study frets about European Union's plans to lift its arms sales embargo on China, which was imposed in 1989 after a bloody crackdown on pro-democracy protests in Beijing. Dude, which they've never addressed, they've never apologized for, they've never investigated, they don't care. They're just like, whatever, put your embargo down, we don't give a shit. These are the same people we sold a bunch of computers to. They just took them and did whatever they wanted with them. There's no, like, they're not really team players, okay? They're not really interested in what the rest of the world's got to say. Very much, in a lot of ways, it's all about Fortress China. Japanese Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi disagreed openly Sunday at news conference with visiting French President Jacques Chirac, Wasn't Jacques Chirac, or is that Black Jacques Chirac? Wasn't that guy from that old Looney Tunes commercial with Bugs Bunny, and he was Black Jacques Chirac? I can't believe he made president of, France. I mean, he's a cartoon, for Christ's sakes. A prime proponent of lifting the ban, who argued that the EU would not ship sensitive technology. Dude, whatever. If you haven't got it on paper, obviously, once you lift the ban, they're going to sell to whoever has money, and China's got a lot of money, so yeah, they'll sell whatever to China. Another Japanese researcher involved in the defense report said Tokyo did not believe the Europeans have made, quote, adequate justification, end quote, for lifting the embargo. Yeah, Japan's a little concerned about China eating everything. We don't believe in lifting the arms embargo. That would mean the latest European weapons would be shipped to China immediately. Yeah, let's get all the HK stuff over there. Sounds good to me. 5.7s for a standard issue, but the lifting would probably lead to various military technologies going to China in ways that we would not be able to detect, said a researcher speaking under a condition of an anonymity, which is great that there's a lot of these researchers who know the truth that will only speak if they know they won't get arrested or shot for it. Now, obviously, it's coming to a head. Dude, you know who I'm talking to here, man. We've got a listener who's in Taiwan right now. Man, you need to get the fuck out of there, guy. Like, get out. If you wind up getting your ass killed over there, it's your own fucking fault. Because I'm telling you here and now, I would be gone, Chief. Okay, there's storm clouds on the horizon. You need to take your family and get the fuck out of Taiwan. Okay? there's a guy over there. He's a listener. He went over there as a, he married a local. You know, I think, I believe he's an American citizen. He needs to take his family and get the fuck out of there for sure, because it's going to come downrange. And pretty soon, you know, they're going to lie. If China comes in and takes over, what do you think they're going to let people leave? No, not going to happen. You're not going to get out of there. And then things are going to take a big shit sandwich. And you're a foreigner to start with. So, you know, especially with the tensions that are building. Guy, you're the wrong color. Okay, I hate to tell you this, but you're the wrong fucking color in the time of a war in Asia. Get the fuck out. That's my own personal take. If you want to stay there, your ball. But, dude, I'm here to tell you. Time to go. Mark Cuban, who's this billionaire, did some seriously heroic shit. Now, I don't know anything about Mark Cuban. This is the first time I've heard of Mark Cuban. He owns the Dallas Mavericks, but I can't hold that against him. Mark Cuban did some seriously heroic shit. Listen to this. Technology entrepreneur, Dallas Mavericks owner, billionaire, blogger, and sometimes blowhard. Now, when a writer calls somebody else a blowhard, that's the pot and the kettle for sure. But it makes me feel a little bit better that the writer called him a blowhard, because people who are blowhards generally, you know, say what they think. Now, so that's a title for me. And sometimes blowhard Mark Cuban has pledged to finance P2P software maker Grokster's legal war with the major record labels and movie studios. That means he's going to bankroll the legal battle. Check that shit out. The Supreme Court tomorrow. This would be, I guess, probably today. Or it could have been the other day. I don't know what the date on this story. Sorry about that. The Supreme Court will hear arguments surrounding Grokster and Streamcast dispute over media companies. Hollywood is hoping the High Court will overturn two lower court's decisions that says makers of the decentralized P2P software cannot be held liable for users who trade copyright files. So far we've won, but they're going right up the chain. Cuban, who owns movie theaters and the rights to numerous TV shows and movies, wow, has gone against his peers by saying P2P software should be given a chance to thrive. We are a digital company and its platform is agnostic, Cuban wrote on his blog. Bits are bits. We don't care how they're distributed, just that they are. We want our content to get to the customer in a way the customer wants to receive it. They want to receive it at a price that's of value to them. Simple business. Unlike Grokster, unless Grokster loses to MGM in front of the Supreme Court, if Grokster loses, technological innovation might not die, but will have such a significant price tag associated with it will be a domain for the big corporations only, which is, of course, what they want. Now, for him to get up there and bankroll that shit and come out and say that when he owns the rights to a number of TV shows, I mean, he's made of money. Okay, the guy owns, what does he own? He owns the Dallas Mavericks, okay? So when you own the Dallas Mavericks, you're made of money. But I gotta say, you know, he looks like a rich guy who's not a piece of shit. That's some pretty heroic stuff, what he's doing right there. So props out to him. And it's nice to see that there's somebody out there with the balls to stand up and do something like that. So you know what? Huge props to Mark Cuban, man. That's some heroic shit right there. And it does my heart good, and especially when there's so much bad news going out there in the world, that we get a piece of good news like that that shows there are people out there who really do give a crap. Now, you think you got a bad job, you think you got a hard job, especially if you're in retail, imagine being an Army recruiter. Now, that is a hard sell. The Army recruiters are being challenged with one of the hardest selling jobs in the military, and has asked, and this job is one of the hardest jobs in that the American military have asked of them in American history. And many say demands are taking a toll. Of course they would. A recruiter in New York said the pressure from the Army to meet his recruiting goals during a time of war has given him stomach problems and searing back pain. Okay, so he's stressing out at work. Suffering from bouts of depression, he said he's considered suicide. Join the club, pal. Don't kill yourself. Kill other people. Another in Texas says he has volunteered many times to go to Iraq rather than face ridicule or rejection of the Army's wrath. Yeah, that'd be kind of weird. Bringing in these little snot-nosed kids who, you know, play too much Counter-Strike and sending them off to go die in the desert. Yeah, I'd have some ethical problems with that. An Army chaplain said he has counseled nearly a dozen recruiters in the past 18 months, helping them cope with marital troubles and job-related stress. Yeah, I mean, there's some serious guilt going on here. How would you feel if you sold this kid a pie in the sky? He goes over, gets his legs blown off. Yeehaw. There were a couple of recruiters that felt they were having nervous breakdowns, literally, said Major Stephen Nagler, Father Nagler, a chaplain who retired in March after serving at Fort Hamilton in Brooklyn, where New York Recruiting Battalion is based. So he's retired now, so he can talk. Two dozen recruiters nationwide were interviewed about their experiences over 4 months. 10 spoke with the New York Times after an Army officials sent an email message advising all recruiters not to speak to this reporter, who was named. Most asked for anonymity to avoid being disciplined. So, again, they'll want to talk, but they don't want to talk if they're going to get shot for it. A handful who spoke said they were satisfied with their jobs. They said they took pride in seeing awkward, unfocused teenagers transform into confident soldiers and relish an opportunity to contribute to the Army effort. Yes, yes. How about we toe some more of that party line? But realistically, in the really real world, there's a bunch of these kids who want to prove themselves. Okay, we know that men want to have a rite of passage. Some women want the rite of passage, too. Okay, there's different rites of passage for men and women. But generally, I'm just talking about guys here. Guys have this thing where we want to go out and prove that we're men. And some guys never do it. And that's why you get the really old guy in the bar driving the Trans Am with the balding patch, growing the hair long on one side, combing it over the top. That's how that occurs. Okay, because he never proved to himself that he was a man. And, you know, he winds up getting sweaty palms and that's the end for him. Now, if you want to prove that you're a man, you know, maybe there's some better ways to do that than joining the Army right at this specific juncture of time and space. Because I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot of crazy shit going on in Iraq right now. And if you haven't got any experience, you know, I mean, on one hand, you know, this said about once a month, I get the urge to cross the border and join. No shit. I'll, like, wake up one morning, I'll be like, that's it, I'm going, fuck it. You know, I hear about these stories, and once upon a time, I was a halfway decent soldier, you know, and I think to myself, you know, I'd like to help these guys out over there, because they're really in a dark place. And if nothing else, I could probably make the rest of the guys in my section laugh. So, you know, that, and don't you kid yourself, that shit goes a long way in theater, man. You know, a few yucks can take the stress right off. So, you know, I've thought about that myself because I feel bad for these guys. I like Americans. Every time I've gone to America, they've been really good people. So I'd like to see their kids come home alive. And I think that if you know, America's given a lot to me. I mean, you know, look at all the entertainment. I'm both basically, you know, I think of Canada and America as North America. It's nice that we got this government system in place that keeps all the paranoid laws kind of south of the 49th parallel there. That's kind of cool. But generally, I feel bad for what's going on overseas, and my heart bleeds because I like America. Don't think I'm anti-American, because I'm not. I'm just saying that right now is probably not the best time to join the Army. If you're looking for something else, you know, the Army is good for people sometimes, especially in times of peace, where they want to figure out whether or not it's right for them, but there's no margin of error here. If you join, you're fucked. So a lot of people deserting, you know, you got to check the fruit in the orchard before you settle there. So, you know, just sort of my own kind of guideline there. And we got more news on even evermore, always present, always happening, reported every day, identity theft. A thief recently walked into a University of California Berkeley office and swiped a computer laptop containing the personal information of nearly 100,000 alumni, graduate students, and past applicants, highlighting a continued lack of security that has increased society's vulnerability to identity theft. Now, I would first of all ask, what the hell was 100,000 personal records doing on a laptop? Okay, that sounds like server-side stuff. There's no reason for an individual to be walking around with that much personal data right off the top. Second of all, where the hell is your physical security? You know, this is why we need not to make... This is why I like big dogs. You know, if you want my laptop, sure, it's right over there, right next to the computer case and my Borble. University officials waited until Monday to announce the March 11th crime, hoping that police would be able to catch the thief and reclaim the computer and not let anyone else know that happened. But meanwhile, if the guy had been smart, grabbed the computer, grabbed the hard drive, copied the data off the hard drive, and then left the computer back, no one would know the information was gone, which would be the lead hacksaw thing to do. And then you've got information that nobody thinks is compromised, but yet it is. And according to this article, they wouldn't have even reported it missing because they know that information theft is huge right now. But when that didn't happen, when the thief kept the computer, the school publicized the theft to comply with state law, to comply only with the state law, requiring consumers be notified whenever their social security numbers and other sensitive information has been breached. The law is meant to alert people their personal information could be used by scam artists to obtain loans or conduct other businesses under an assumed identity. UC Berkeley plans to advise the 98,369 people affected by the laptop theft to check their credit reports. So they'll get a letter saying check your credit reports, although there's been no indication that any of the personal information has been used illegally, University spokeswoman Maria Field said. Maria Feld said. Now, chances are it was some junky piece of shit took the laptop, sold it for $500, and is getting some money. That's chances are what's happening with this piece of tech. But still, You know, I'd like to know a little bit quicker if my personal information... This is why you don't give people your personal information. Get fake ID and use that. Use your real ID for your own financial information. I'm here to tell you, it's almost getting to that level. And we got new censorship coming through. Not only do we have a government that's way out of control, not only do we have draconian laws, not only are we losing our rights and freedoms, but now we've got our censorship, so we can't talk about it either. The U.S. television and radio industries are about to come under a renewed attack over sex, violence, and profanity in their programming. Well, fuck me. Both in Congress and at the Federal Communications Commission. Well, looks like curtains... Oh, wait, I'm Canadian. Leading lawmakers in the commission's new chairman have proposed a broad expansion of the indecency rules, which were significantly toughened last year. They're also looking for significant increases in the size of fines and new procedures that could jeopardize the license of stations that repeatedly violate the rules, like the bastard Howard Stern. Some senior lawmakers, including Ted Stevens and the Alaska Republican who heads the Senate Commerce Committee and the Commission's chairman, Kevin Martin, have suggested that it may be time to extend the indecency and profanity rules to cable and satellite TV providers, which now account for viewerships in 85% of U.S. homes. Okay, well, you know what? If I'm getting satellite TV, I'm paying for my television, okay? I'm paying for this item which is coming to me. I'm a legitimate shopper. I've chosen to buy, you know, The Sopranos or The Oz or whatever program that's got profanity, violence, and sex in it. You know, the Blue Light Special, the Sylvia Saints Greatest Hits, whatever, okay? I'm paying for that. That's my stuff. Don't tell me I can't buy this shit. All you're going to do is create an underground market. What are you, stupid? Meanwhile, consumer groups have been trying to force the cable industry to offer the option of less expensive packages with fewer stations. An organization opposing what they consider indecent programming have supported this option as a way to help consumers to block such a program. Yes, of course. They're going to support that because, again, this is a frog in the water. Dude, we don't need to have that. If you don't like that, just don't ask for that program. Just cut that channel out. You can do that already. This is just yet another attempt at what? At subversive censorship by the religious right. I love these guys. Now, don't get me wrong. I got an email the other day of a guy, you know, freaking out because I was talking about, you know, the religious right and, you know, the psycho Christians and all this kind of stuff. Now, again, I pray at every family function, regardless, because I draw the line between spirituality and religious, you know, psychofascism here, okay? I don't hate Jews, I don't hate Arabs, I don't hate Christians, I don't hate, you know, any of these Muslims, I don't hate any of those guys. Okay, if you want to pray to rocks, trees, tribbles, antimatter, my Uncle Heshy, I don't give a shit. You can do what you want. My problem arises when you start banding together with picks and torches and lighting my albums on fire. Which they do. Focus on the Family has destroyed more lives in the name of God. And these are organizations that are supposed to be about community, and yet they're about ostracization. That's my problem. If you've got good Christian neighbors, love them. Love them to death. They're nice people. They don't fuck with anyone. They got their kids. Everybody's cool. Crime rate's low. Very nice. We all like that. It's good stuff. Don't have to be, you know, playing your Manson at 200 decibels just to fuck with your neighbors. Okay, that's cool. Let's all cohabitate. We, you know, small blue ball. Everyone's got to get along. And eventually, you know, there's the scientific evidence they won't be able to deny anymore. But until that point, if they don't need to believe that, if they want to believe whatever they want to believe, that's fine. So I don't hate religious groups. Don't think I do. I just hate psycho-fascist, you know, religious dogma killing people. That's what bugs me. Okay, and it doesn't matter where that's from. I don't care if it's Raelian or Scientologist or whatever, or Christian or Muslim, Jew. You know, the Nazis kill the Jews and the Jews kill the Arabs and the Arabs kill the hostages, and that is the news. You know, that's from Roger Waters' radio. No, sorry, Roger Waters' Amused to Death. And it's there's all this violence based on religion. That's what I have a problem with. It's violence and censorship and religious law. Like, the whole concept of religious police just freaked me the fuck out. So, you know, that's my problem with religion. Now, on to the UN update. Remember how we got this war hawk? He's going up to the United Nations now. And the head, the Nobel Prize winning head of economics for the United Nations wrote this huge paper saying, this guy is such the wrong dude. Pull your head out of your ass. That's what this guy's paper said. And that's a quote, by the way. And further to that, on this new appointment he's got, the UN update is no. 59 U.S. diplomats opposed the nomination of John Bolton to be American ambassador to the United Nations, according to a letter to be delivered to the key congressional lawmakers on Tuesday. Bolton was nominated by Bush, a Republican. 3 weeks ago, amid complaints from Democrats that he's polarizing figures who have shown disdain for the United Nations. "We urge you to reject the nomination," the former diplomat said to a letter to Reince Lugar, the chairman of U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee. The former diplomats, who have served presidents from Richard Nixon to Bill Clinton, well, you can't really fault them for Nixon there, took issue with what they said was Bolton's view that the United Nations is valuable only when it directly serves the interests of the United States. Wow. They also said Bolton, currently under Secretary of State of Arms Control and International Security, has an exceptional record of opposing efforts to enhance U.S. security through arms control, and has worked for Taiwan as a paid researcher, and has said Taiwan should be treated as a sovereign state. Ooh, they had said that, quote, "his past activities and statements indicate conclusively that he is the wrong man for this position," end quote. Well, he sounds like he's, you know, got his own opinions, but I'd be more concerned with some of these Nobel Prize winning, economists who say, "Dude, what are you doing? Bad call, you know? Now, the United Nations generally has got no nuts. They are a huge fucking failure. What I think, and a lot of people are going to go against me on this one, okay? Now, you got to think, we're going to eventually get to a one-world government. There's no way around this, okay? Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but, you know, we're going to get a one-world government. Now, the thing is if it's like some kind of committee or something like that, if we had a one-world government where, you know, we'd have a lot less countries, I would hope we could probably standardize it a little bit. That would mean, yes, and it's going to piss some people off, that would mean that we wouldn't get all of our luxuries that we currently have. But that would also mean that people wouldn't be starving all over the world either. You know, so would you give up your Lexus to save, you know, say, oh, I don't know, 100,000 people in a foreign country who you'll never meet? This gets back to the big moral dilemma. And the problem is due to our current state in society, nobody has any value on human life. And that's truth. That's true. That's why, and myself included, you know, I'll sit back and I'll look at the value of human life, the value of a single human life. And if you give an individual human life lots of merit and lots of worth, okay, if you believe that all life is sacred, it's a very depressing world to live in. That's a very depressing world when you realize that there are children under the age of like 13, there are children under the age of 10 employed in sex trades in flesh pits in Thailand, where they're lined up on stages. They don't even have names. They have a number on their goddamn belt that people just pick this bitch by the number and they take them away and just violate this woman. You know, this to me is a fate worse than death. To think, imagine if that was your daughter. Imagine if that's somebody's daughter. You know what I mean? And people are like, well, they're used to that. Shut the fuck up. Okay, that is no way for anyone to live. There's slavery rampant all over the world. All over the world, okay? You've got religious law doing hideous shit all over Morocco, all over that region of the world. The Middle East is fucked. Everybody's killing each other. And why? Because they have ideals which they believe to be more important than the value of human life. You see how this works? And we hate to say it, but we think that our cars are worth more than other people's lives because out of sight, out of mind. If we don't see it, we don't care. And this is why commercials that show starving kids are so effective, because when we see it, it makes some people care. And we think they're faulted for. We don't like people who care. We make the joke, you know, oh, well, you know, there's starving people in Africa. What do you want me to do? Send it to them? Maybe. Maybe there's a way we can help people. But when you put value on human life, it gets difficult. It's a hard world to live in like that. So that's something to think about. Something to think about. Well, how do you value human life? I think it's valuable, but I usually have this really bizarre sort of lifeboat mentality where I realize the capacity of the lifeboat is 20. We're already at 25. More people will climb on the lifeboat. The lifeboat will sink and everyone will die. So I have to start killing other people climbing on the lifeboat. That is where the metal meets the meat. It's unfortunate, but there it is. Now, I don't think we're that way all over the world. Maybe not yet. I don't have enough data to make that call, but I do intrinsically value human life. And yeah, if I could wiggle my nose and make it all happen, you bet I'd save everybody. But whether or not that's going to happen, it's up in the air. Now, there's a new web coalition. 80 large net service firms have switched on software to spot and stop net attacks automatically. Now, this is interesting. The system created digital fingerprints of ongoing incidents that are sent to every network affected. Firms involved in the smart sensing system believe it will help trace attacks back to their source. Very important stuff. Data gathered will be passed to police to help build up intelligence about who is behind worm outbreaks and denial of service attacks. Are you getting this? Firms signing up for the sensing system include MCI, BT, Deutsche Telekom, Energis, NTT, Bell Canada, and many others. There's like 80 firms, okay, who are signing up to this program. I'd like to get some more information on this. The creation of the fingerprinting system has been brokered by U.S. firm Arbor Networks, and signatures of attacks will be passed to anyone suffering the weight of an attack. So that's very, very interesting. You know, it's something that you might want to look at if you're employed at all or interested at all in any type of computer security. Something to be aware of. And on to today's daily hack. Now, this one's a big one. It's about debt slavery, which I also call, you know, the wage slave system. Stop the debt slavery bankruptcy bill in the House. Now, they've got this bankruptcy bill going through, and apparently, from the write-up on this page here, they're talking about writing letters to stop this bill because it does mean, you know, total wage slavery to these credit card companies who did like $30 billion in profits last year. Check this out. Any day now, your representative in Congress will vote on a hugely important debt slavery bankruptcy bill, H.R. 685, that could literally change your life. This is you as an individual. The bill was written by credit card companies, which, you know, just makes me cringe right away, which made $30 billion in profits 2004, but are blinded by greed because they're a core political and, you know, they have no ethics. They're just driven by the dollar. The bill would change current law to prevent you from declaring bankruptcy under Chapter 7, which pays off your debts by liquidating your assets, blah, 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 blah. Simply put, you become a debt slave to the credit card companies. When the Senate passed this bill, it rejected dozens of crucial changes to make the bill humane, such as exemptions for serious medical problems, exemptions for those in the military, an interest rate limit of 30%, that's gone, protecting homes and then the elderly, comparably strict treatment of those who are rich. So it's another one of the things of something that makes poor people poorer and rich people richer. It's your daily hack today because it's something you have to do. You have to write letters to prevent this bill from going through. Check that out. This is a law that will affect you individually, and you need to know about this. So that is today's daily hack. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive and free. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to stand and fight in a time of crisis. Those people are Anonymous, Topek, Jesse, The Grey Ghost, Drake, Anthony, Robert, Dual Parallel, Anonymous, Michael, Andrea, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Tech Freak, Keith, and Malcolm, Keith, Malcolm, Timor, Peter, Forleet. I think I missed somebody there. Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Forleet, Timor, Peter, Plasmonic Grid, Christopher, Rosalie, Richard, Matt, Greg, Weblife, Evan, David, Brian, Austin, Brian, Jonathan, Adam, Host Mojo, Mainframe, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Helgon, Art, Darmude, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Anonymous, and Jason. New subscribers this month are Kevin, Steve, Philip, Steve, Charles, Matt, Brandon, Kevin, and Mark. Thank you so much, guys. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit randmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. Special thanks to the hard netrunners who brought me this data and therefore allowing me to get it to you would be the Boon, Falweir, No Delete, Zizix, Ricky Rocket, Rain Street, Nightfall, Bemini, Thunderspud, Sabo, that crazy pirate guy, you know who you are, Judas, Fifi, Mookie, Bonsai Poppy, and Sabo. No digital baptisms today, but if you want one, let me know. Upcoming events, don't forget about Nauticom. It's coming up fast. And thanks again to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album Moment of Truth by Man With No Name. That's the name of the album. Very, very cool. And I'm going to leave you with the Busta Love Warning version of the client song Radio. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
Time won't stop. The hours fly. I watch my life slipping by. Another day, another wish. Don't want my life to be like this. Time won't stop, the hours fly. I watch my life slipping by. Another day, another wish. Don't want my life to be like this. They call it news, it's not to me. The world's a mess on my TV. I can't escape, I'm out of luck. A bad day, I've had enough. There's no music on my radio. 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 They call it news, it's not to me. The world's a mess on my TV. I can't escape, I'm out of luck. A bad day, I've had enough. There's nothing bright to light my day. No signs to read to show me the way. No hope for sleep, no hope it seems for happiness. There's no music on my radio. 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 There's no music.